I'm just going to share with you guys for a couple of minutes, and we're going to get back to worshiping. On Sunday, we finished up Galatians chapter 5, and we were talking about bearing fruit and how the only way to bear fruit is to abide in the Lord. And we looked at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, and the Bible says quite a bit more about bearing fruit than just that list in Galatians chapter 5. Those were the fruits that are revealed in a transformed character. But the Bible goes on and talks about other fruit. Like, for instance, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's character, guys. Those are the fruits that are born when we abide in Christ and we're transformed as a person. But as part of my servant leadership course that I've put together over the years, I actually came up with a list of about 7 or 8 other things that the New Testament shares about bearing fruit. And so I thought tonight for a few minutes what we'd do is we'd challenge ourselves a bit and would go beyond the character of a transformed life to the productivity, the fruit, the practical fruit that comes. And so you don't need to turn to your Bibles. But the first one is found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. This is John the Baptist, and he's talking to the Pharisees that came to his baptism. And he talks to them in some pretty harsh words, actually, but then he challenges them, and he says, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." And so one of the things that we should see as the Holy Spirit is working in our lives beyond character is what I would call life transformation. That you were previously, in fact, Paul talks about this in his epistles. He says, you were previously certain things, but he says, now you're something very different. And so we should look at our lives tonight, and we should see life transformation as evidence that we're abiding in Christ and that his Spirit is changing us. So previously, you were angry and mean. Previously, maybe you were immoral. Previously, you were a thief and a drunkard and whatever else the scriptures say. And you look and you say, such was I in the past. But as the Spirit has come into my life, I'm very different now. You should be seeing those kinds of things. Luke 8, verse 14. We all know this. This is the parable of the sower. Remember, Jesus said, a sower went out and he sowed seed, and he talks about the different places that the seed falls. And so he says, the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So this one we're going to invert, and what we're going to say is that when the Word of God is going in and it's not being choked out by the cares of this life or by riches or anything else, we should begin to bear spiritual maturity through God's Word. We should begin to start growing to where we look at our lives and we say, I've started to reflect some of those things that the Scripture says a mature believer will show. Romans 1:13, Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. As we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, one of the areas where he bore consistent and ongoing fruit was in the realm of evangelism, seeing people converted and then planting churches. As we mature in the Lord and we're looking for fruit beyond character, we have to ask ourselves that question, am I reproducing Have I come to a place in my walk with the Lord where I have learned how to effectively share the gospel, and I look for open doors and I share the gospel, and I actually see people, you know, coming to faith? I was thinking about it recently, and I was praying about something specific, and it hit me that right now there's, you know, last time I checked, there's about 3,000 Calvary chapels around the world. But Calvary's been going for the last 60 years. So if you think about how many men have gone out and planted Calvary chapels over the year, let's just say 20,000. You know, I don't know. I wonder how many people have planted a Calvary in it. You know, they're no longer doing it. But it just kind of hit me. And this is going to sound weird. It's going to sound self-serving. But it's just something I was talking to the Lord about. I am one of a small number of human beings who have planted a church and pastored it for 20 years. And it hit me, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, you know, that's fruit. That's fruit. I'm not bragging in any way. I'm just saying, I was looking at my life and saying, how many people, there's like 8 billion people on the planet right now. You know, to think of how few people have gone out and pioneered a new church with the help of good friends and good people, and 20 years later, there's a thriving, awesome church. So we can look at our community here called Calvary Chapel Greer, and we can say, wow, this is fruitful. We've sent people to other places to plant churches. It's exciting. Hebrews 12:11, he says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The Holy Spirit would say to us tonight that those who respond to biblical correction and allow themselves to go through a discipline, correction, and restoration process, the Holy Spirit says that that's a fruitful Christian right there. Just think about it. How many Christians do we know over our lifetime, the time we've walked with the Lord, that they got involved in something sinful, God started a discipline process, and they're running still. But the Lord says, hey, here is the evidence of a fruitful believer, that you will allow yourself to be confronted, that you will allow yourself to be corrected, and that you will respond to biblical correction and get back in line with God and his will. This is one that I love because it's what we're doing tonight. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore by him, this is by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips. And then he says, giving thanks to his name. So praise, worship, and then speech that glorifies God, the Holy Spirit would speak to us tonight and say, that is fruit. That is genuine fruit bearing in your life. And so we'll get back to it in a minute. But I have one more that I want to share, and I hope this is going to be encouraging, especially if you're like, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and it just seems like life is one trial after another. Like, somebody recently said that you're either in the Christian life, you're either coming out of a trial, or you're in the midst of a trial, or you're headed into the next trial. And I know someone's like, stop! Just stop it, PR. But listen to this. How do we know if our life is producing results or bearing genuine fruit that glorifies God? Anybody can produce results. You can buy a program and get results. But how do you know when your life is genuinely bearing fruit? Paul answers this in 1 Corinthians 16:9. He says, a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And one of the things that I found, and Paul said it right here, is that when your life is bearing fruit to the Lord, Satan is going to notice that, and he's going to paint a big target on your back, and he's going to come after you regularly. And Paul says here that satanic opposition is something that the life of a fruit-bearing Christian is going to draw continually. You are constantly going to be attacked by the enemy. It's either going to be in your mind, or it's going to be from somebody else who decides to set their sights on you, and Satan stirs them to slander you or gossip about you or whatever it is, attack you. Satan absolutely hates it when God's being glorified by servant leadership-minded Christians. And so he attacks and he opposes the work, but he also attacks the worker. And so we've looked at a couple of ways tonight that we bear fruit. I just want to read you one more portion of Scripture. And it comes from John chapter 15. And you may say, you know what, PR, those things you mentioned tonight, I want those. I mean, we talked on Sunday from Galatians 5. Lord, I want the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. I want all of that, Lord. But Lord, now that we've talked about these other things tonight, I want to be part of those other fruit-bearing ventures. We go back to John 15, and right now I want to speak personally to all of us. Jesus says to you, I'm the vine. He says, I'm the true vine, excuse me. And my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I've told you before that phrase, he takes away, is a really bad translation in English. It's much better translated, he lifts up. And the idea is that when you've got a grapevine, for instance, and you get some little stragglers, some little branches, and they've fallen maybe under their own weight, or they broke away from, you know, the fence, and they fall down, and they get out of the light, and they get into the mud, and they can't bear any fruit because they're in this environment that chokes out all of the fruit-bearing elements. And so the Father comes along, he's the vine dresser, and he sees those non-fruit-bearing branches. And some in the room and some watching online tonight, you may just be honest and say, you know what, right now, Pastor Randy, I just feel like I'm in a non-fruit-bearing season of my Christian life. Well, what you need to do tonight is just simply cry out to the Lord and say, God, my branch is still connected to the vine. I still know and love Jesus, and I'm never going to stop. But my branch has kind of fallen down into the mud. I've gotten into the mud of the wrong friends. I've gotten into the mud of the wrong entertainment. I've gotten down into the mud of all this worldly stuff that just little by little I let it creep in. And tonight, Father, vine dresser Father, would you reach down and just grab my branch and pull it out of the mud? And would you just clean me off? And would you take me and reattach me to, you know, the fence so that I'm exposed to the light of your word, to the fresh air, the ruach, the breath of the Holy Spirit, and then I can start bearing fruit again. There's other people in the room, and you're like someone else in verse 2. It says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that he may bear more fruit. There's some in the room and watching online, and you're in a good fruit-bearing season of life. And you can look at your life and you can say, man, I'm bearing fruit here and here and here and here and here. And you realize I have gotten myself spread a little bit thin and I am bearing fruit, but this over here isn't what it could be. This isn't what it could be. This isn't what it could be. So tonight, some of us, and I will tell you that's where I tend to be, some of us need to say to the Lord, Father, tonight I welcome the pruning process. I even welcome you cutting off or putting a stop to some area of my life that's bearing good fruit so that those resources can be redirected to the areas where you want me to bear more fruit. I'm not content with being like spread into 10 different things and I'm just kind of doing okay. Lord, I want to become a sharpshooter again. I want to hear that specific call, and I want to be tuned in and honed in, which means tonight, Lord, you need to prune some things. Please, not my job. Go ahead and pray that. Please, not my job. And not my favorite hobby, Lord. Not that either. And Lord, not, oh, wait, hold on, let's stop. How about we just reel it back and say, God, whatever it is that you want to prune, whatever it is. And then verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So if we look at our lives tonight and we say, I just have to kind of admit it, I'm not bearing much fruit, then you got to figure out why. Are you attached to the vine but you're living in the mud? Or have you kind of become unattached? And that doesn't mean you're no longer saved. He goes on, he says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. But it's so easy for a believer to get unattached to the life-giving presence of Jesus. And we kind of get our walk on cruise control. And maybe tonight some of us just need to realize I need to go back to really focusing on my devotion life. And I'm going to turn it back over to the worship band right now. And can we say thanks to these guys? You don't know how much work it is just to put on a worship night. It is a lot to practice and come in and lead this many songs. But listen, let me say this. If you're struggling in your devotion life, I think that the rest of this evening could be a turning point for you. Because if you can shut off everything, shut off your phone if you have to, shut off your mind, pray and ask the Holy Spirit just to give you laser-like focus on what we're here to do tonight. To just spend a few more minutes worshiping the Lord, and then the attitude of worship that's cultivated in here tonight, keep it going in your car, and then keep it going in your bed when you get home. Set your alarm 30 minutes earlier than you normally do, and before you go to bed, get your paper Bible, put it out, get a notebook, get a pen, and before you go to bed tonight, just say, God, I am making a commitment right now that I am going to meet with you first thing tomorrow morning, and then do that again tomorrow night, and do it the next night, and do it the next night, and you're going to get into the habit again of cultivating a daily devotional life. You may say, hey, the first 3 or 4 days it was really dry. It's probably going to be, actually. But then you're going to start just getting to where you don't want to not have your devos, because you and the Lord are going to get so close again. So Father, tonight we've talked about different kinds of fruit that we bear, but that verse in Hebrews 13:15, where we talked about worship, the fruit of our lips, we compare scripture with scripture and we remember that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the lips either speak or don't. They either give praise or they don't. And Lord, for the next few minutes, we just simply want this place to be so tangible with the evidence and the presence of the Holy Spirit drawing us back to Jesus, drawing us deep into the presence of the Lord, where we find that life-giving sustenance that can only come as we spend time in Jesus' presence, as we abide in him and his word abides in us. And Lord, sometimes when I talk about this, I struggle for words, because I feel like this is a subject where we should struggle with words. This isn't something that can be easily explained with words. This is something, Lord, that has to be experienced in the quiet place, where it's just us and you. So tonight it's corporate, and it's going to kind of set the tone. But Lord, as we go home tonight, it's individual. As we wake up tomorrow morning, it's individual. And we pray, Father, that the rest of this evening would just be blessed with a sweet, sweet spirit of worship. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.